Good morning, church. We are so glad that you've been able to join us for worship today. If this is your first time with us, welcome, and we are so glad that you're here with us. We'd love for you to get on our website, fbcplatcity.com/welcome, and fill out a quick form if you have a minute so that we can get connected. We have a mobile app available that makes it easy to stay up to date on whatever's happening around the church. You can also set up online giving and register for our in-person worship gatherings here at our new church home. Our student ministry continues to meet on Sunday evenings. There's groups available for preteens, which includes 5th and 6th grade, as well as our middle school and high school youth group. If you are in preteen ministry, you can get dropped off and picked up at our front doors upstairs, and then our older youth can meet downstairs through those lower level doors. You don't have to register, just show up and bring a friend. One of our ministries here at First Baptist is our Grief Share ministry. Grief Share is a small group opportunity to get together and watch some videos of interviews with grief counselors and pastors, and then discuss your experiences with other people who are grieving the loss of a loved one. A new session begins in a couple of weeks on Saturdays from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. at our new church. Registration is appreciated, and you can find that on our website under the ministries page. We're continuing with our sermon series today called All Things New, and today we're specifically discussing a new way to pray. So I'd like to read you some scripture from John. In John 17, verse 20, it says, "I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me." Will you pray with me? God, help us to just be humbled by this scripture, to see the ways that we're not living in unity with our neighbors, the ways that we've failed to love people the way that you have loved us. Help us to know you and for your love to flow through us to the people around us as we reach our community with the gospel. Amen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to worship. So we're continuing on in our series in this brand new year, right? 2021. Leave the old behind. Go with the new. We're in our new home, and we're talking about how Jesus says in Revelation 25, "Behold, I make all things new." And that is such an attractive thought to me. It's so desirable to me to have this new moment with the Lord, to have this new breakthrough kind of time with the Lord. So years ago, I read a book, I think it was called To Dream Again, and the author, Robert Dale, I remember, Robert Dale, To Dream Again, he asked a question that I've carried with me all this time. He said, "What kind of Christians do you dream of?" And he was setting it up to say, what kind of Christians do you dream of? And once you figured that out, you can ask yourself the question, what kind of pastor do I need to be to develop the kind of Christians that I dream of? And then the next domino would be, what kind of leader do I need to be to draw the kind of staff and retain the staff to help develop the kind of Christians that I dream of? And what kind of programs would we build? What kinds of things would we do to try to have this end result of the kind of Christians that we dream of? And that it may seem kind of self-centered, but I guess maybe that's part of the point when it comes to your own spiritual development, is what kind of Christian do you dream of being? What kind of Christ follower do you want to be? You know, because there's all kinds, and you've known many different people who come from a different perspective to their faith. And honestly, I mean, even as we find in our new church home and people who come and want to say, "Hey, I want to try out that new church. I want to see what that new church is about." Well, there's kind of a clarity that comes if you can say, what kind of Christians are you trying to produce out there? What kind of people are you trying to form in their spirituality, in their life with the Lord? And so as we've been talking about all things new, we've been talking about a new way to know God. A new way to know God that's not really based on a set of rules and religious practices nearly so much as it is based on this relationship with God that would come from people who say, "I get it. There is a God. And though I don't deserve it, I need him. And there is a God, and I long for him. I long to be his child. I long to be in that relationship. That's the kind of Christian that I dream of. And so a new way to know God. And we talked about it last week, how in Hebrews, God just says this about Jesus. He says, look, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and appointed, and through him he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. And maybe the way to know God, maybe the new way to know God is to know God by saying, I just want to know Jesus. I just want to press in to learn about Jesus and to learn what made him tick and to learn how his heart worked and to learn how his mind worked and to figure out if Jesus, what would it be like for me to follow hard after the heart of Jesus, a new way to know God. And so today I want us to talk a little bit about a new way to pray, a new way to pray. And in that same sort of idea, there's this line from Hebrews, and it says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, this is Hebrews 5, verse 7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions. So what's the new way to pray? What's the new way to know God? To know God by knowing Jesus. How are you going to find a new way to pray? You're going to find a new way to pray by figuring out how Jesus prayed, right? And Jesus prayed, man. I mean, Jesus would withdraw from the others, and he would go find a place to pray through the night, to just be with his Father in heaven. And he would pray, and he would seek time. You know, even though he loved the people that he was with, you know, his inner circle of disciples and the people that he got to minister to and with, even though he loved them incredibly, he also had this longing, this heart yearning to get away and pray and just have time with his Father. Hebrews 5:7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. That's how Jesus prayed. And I know it may not be how you think about Jesus praying, but there are a lot of Jesus' prayers that we don't have recorded. There are a lot of Jesus' prayers that must have been from his heart to God's ear. I know if we could figure some of that out. I want us to try to explore a little bit of that. And so I want to give you some questions that we're going to come back around to later. So here are some questions, and I just jotted them down in some notes. Question number one, how have you been praying? You may say, well, sheepishly, Rusty, I'd have to answer that and say, I haven't been praying all that much. And I would have to say I kind of get that. This has been an incredibly hectic season for us right now as a church. In my family, my immediate nuclear family, my extended family, this has been an incredibly, and it's not just busy, it's hectic. And in some ways, it's a weird dynamic because COVID has slowed some things way, way down, but it's also just disrupted the order of everything. And so it's been hard on my prayer life. Maybe it's been hard on yours too. How have you been praying? And if you're accustomed to praying with a particular discipline and that discipline has been disrupted, you may be really struggling with that. So how have you been praying? Wrestle with that one a little bit. Question number two. And this, maybe this is more for me than it is for you, but do you pray, do you talk with God? Do you talk to God? Do you talk at God? And I think that makes a difference for how you're praying, because part of what you see in Scripture, I think, when it lifts Moses up and says that God spoke with him like a friend talks with a friend, it offers permission to have a discussion type prayer, a back and forth kind of a prayer, not just a talking at or a talking to, but a talking with God. And if your prayers are actually in search of direction, or in search of answers, or in search of comfort or help, maybe you need more than just a talking to or a talking at. Maybe you need a talking with. In fact, next week we're going to talk about a new way to hear from God. So maybe you'll need to put these two messages together. Anyway. How have you been praying? Do you talk with God, to God, at God? That's worth exploring. And then here's one that, when we get right down to it, are there anything, or what is it that you've been afraid to ask for in your prayers? What is it that maybe you've been maybe too embarrassed to ask for? What is it that maybe honestly you've just been too tired to ask for? Does anything fall into that category? Just talking about a new way to talk with God, a new way to talk with God, to talk with God like Jesus talked with God during the days of his life on earth. He offers up these prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears. And when I read that, my mind goes immediately to the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Where Jesus just is there with the Father in those moments before everything just goes spiraling on toward the cross, right? I mean, they've finished with the Last Supper. You know, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. They've finished with all the things that were leading up, and now it's time. Now the rubber meets the road. Now it's time for Jesus, right, to actually fulfill exactly what he came to do, which was make the way, right? I am the way, to make the way of salvation through the cross. And so in that moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, all the Gospels talk about it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all talk about it. It talks about Jesus. Matthew 26, Jesus went with his disciples to the place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Remember what it said in Hebrews, where it said in the days of his life on earth, it says Jesus offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears. He said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell down, face to the ground, and he prayed. You remember this. He said, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." And he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you'll not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Verse 42, he went away a second time and he prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." And in my Bible, I just wrote Hebrews 5:7 next to that verse, because that's where it says, with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. And yet I heard a sermon one time about the prayer of Jesus that was not answered, right? "May this cup be taken from me. If it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." The submission. How did Jesus pray? Well, Jesus prayed with a heart that says, "God, here's what I want. Here's what I desire. But Lord, in the end, it's not my will but yours that needs to happen." And maybe that's a new way to pray for you. Maybe I know in the past my prayer life has looked a lot more like giving God my wish list. In the past, my prayer has looked an awful lot like dropping cards in the suggestion box. But what if my prayer could look more like Jesus when he said, "Not my will, but yours be done"? What if my prayer could be a conversation with God about the things that I long to see different in this world? about the things that I long to see made new and made right. And yet ultimately to acknowledge, God, you are God. I'm not. God, your heart and your wisdom and your sovereignty, that's what matters, not mine. What if I could pray until I could trust and then I could leave it in God's hands? Let me take you to John 17 for a minute, because I said that each of the Gospels talks about the Garden of Gethsemane prayer of Jesus, but John is the only one that actually gives a longer treatment of it. In fact, in John chapter 17, maybe your Bible refers to it as Christ's high priestly intercessory prayer. That's pretty cool, because in Hebrews it talks about Jesus being our high priest who is seated at the right hand of the Father, our high priest who is able to make intercession between my heart and God's ear. In fact, I don't know if you remember this part, but Paul talks about it and he says, you know, there are times you don't even know how to pray the way you ought to pray. And it's in those moments that the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us, for you, for me, with groanings too deep for words. Maybe that's exactly what Jesus is doing at the right hand of the Father when He proclaims, "Behold, I make all things new." Maybe He's taking your heart, my heart, directly to God's ear. Anyway, John 17 gives us a glimpse into the prayer life of Jesus, gives us a glimpse into the heart of Jesus. It says this, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. You granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you've given him. Now this is eternal life, that they would know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." My point there, and you can read the whole chapter, I want you to, John 17. But my point there is Jesus has this focus in his heart about the gospel. He's praying about people. He's praying about Peter and James and John and the rest. He's praying about these people that you've given me, and he loves them, right? But he has this ultimate peace in his prayer life. And I would encourage you to think with me about the ultimates when you pray. God, what are you up to that's eternal? In this thing that is burdening my heart, maybe my relationship with my child, maybe my relationship with my spouse, maybe my relationship, who knows? The burden, the breakdown, whatever it is that has driven you to your knees in prayer. What if you could say, "Father, would you help me to see the eternal peace that's going on here? Would you help me to look beyond the moment and see the eternal peace?" I jotted down some things from John 17. Jesus prays in a way that owns who I am before God. He says it here in John 17. He talks about how you have loved me, Lord. You have loved me. I pray, Lord, that they would know who I am because you have loved me. Jesus says that they would know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. He prays in a way that owns who he is before the Father. And then I asked you earlier about how have you been praying. Could I just invite you into this piece for a minute? Praying like Jesus. What if you could own who you are before the Father? You know, because he loves you. I don't know if you know that, but he loves you. He loved you so much that he sent Jesus to save you. What if you could pray in a way that would own who you are before the Father? Loved from the foundation of the earth. Psalm 139 says, "Before I was formed in my mother's womb, you knew me. You knew all there was to know about me. You know the thoughts and intents of my heart. You know a thought before it is on my lips. You know it." He knows you. He loves you. You matter to God. I don't know if anybody's told you that lately, but I'm telling you now, you matter to God. Jesus prayed in a way that owned who he is before the Father. Jesus prayed in a way that connected deeply with the heart of the people that he was doing life with. with Peter and James and the others. He prayed in a way that lifted them up. He says, I've revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they've obeyed your word. And he just pours out his heart for the people that he loves, for the people who are intimately involved in his life. How have you been praying? How have you been praying? Maybe it's not so much about praying, God, would you change this outcome? Would you change that outcome? Maybe there is a way to pray in the path of Jesus that would just pour your heart of love out for the people that God has placed in your life, the people that you're arm in arm with, the people that you're elbow to elbow with, the people that you're heart to heart with. But that's not all. It goes on, and it's Jesus begins to pray, and he says, my prayer is not just for them, but also for all those who will come to know me through their word. And Jesus had a prayer that longed for the souls of the people who don't know him yet. Honestly, I've prayed with tears with people, for people they deeply love who don't know Jesus. And I think that's probably one of the most honest, one of the most heartfelt, heart-wrenching prayers that I've ever heard anybody pray. A father praying for a daughter, a mother praying for a son or a grandchild. And Jesus, he modeled that kind of prayer for us. A new way to pray. Pray like Jesus. He shows us the heart of God. You pray with this heart that owns who you are before God. You pray with a heart that connects deeply with the people that you're doing life with. And you pray with this longing for the soul of those who don't know Jesus yet. Maybe that's the new way to pray, with depth and with meaning. And it's not about your prayer vocabulary. It's not about the these and thous. It's not about everything you've ever read. It's about your heart unveiled before your Father in heaven. Let me give you one more Jesus prayer. And it was pretty common in Jesus' day, actually, for a rabbi to teach his disciples how to pray. And the disciples, they asked Jesus, you know, Lord, teach us to pray. And it's part of the Lord's great Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Lord's Prayer, right? In Matthew chapter 6, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom, come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But just a couple of quick observations from the Lord's Prayer. For one thing, He said, when you pray, Matthew 6, verse 9, this then is how you should pray. When you pray, call him Father, our Father in heaven. And that sounds, you know, like, yeah, so what? We all know that. But it was groundbreaking for Jesus to tell his disciples, call him Father. It was a whole new way to pray. A whole new way to talk to God. When you pray, call him Father. When you pray, focus first on relationship. When you pray, you're not talking to some distant God somewhere out there. You're talking to the one who has set eternity in your heart. You're talking to the one in whose image you were created. You're talking to the one who, before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. When you pray, call him Father. When you pray, call him Father, our Father in heaven. And I love this. When you pray, call him Father, but also pray along with your brothers and your sisters. There's a piece of that that comes together when we come together to call him Father, when we come together to unburden our hearts. Yeah, absolutely, pray alone, but pray also with like-minded, like-hearted people who are going to add their amen to the longings of your heart and your prayer. I was checking this out in the Greek, not that I'm some Greek scholar, but I love the way it says it, and I want to share it with you. And so you know these words, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But in the Greek, here's how the words line up. Let it be hallowed, the name of thee. Let it come to pass, the kingdom of thee. Let it be born now, the will of thee. Man, what if you could have a heart that just said, Lord, it's about you. Let it be holy. Let it be set apart. Let it be held up in worship, your name. Let it come to pass, your kingdom. Let it be born. Let it shoot up from the ground like a tender shoot, the will of God in my life and in the life of the people that I love. So, how have you been praying? And I don't ask you that to indict you. I don't ask you that to bring shame on you. I ask you that to awaken you. How have you been praying? And if your heart immediately goes to a defensive mode when I ask that question, can I just ask you to lower your defenses? How have you been praying? And I don't ask you that so that you can armor up and say, here's how I've been praying, and here's my notebook, and here's this. Just power down, power down. I'm asking you that in order to invite you into this conversation with God. Have you been praying at God? Have you been praying to God? Maybe God could cultivate in us this year a heart that says, God, may I talk with you. May I walk with you, because frankly, that's the kind of Christians I dream of. That's the kind of Christian I want to be. That's the kind of Christian I want to invite you into being. And that's the kind of Christian that I hope this church becomes known for. People who have this genuine heart relationship with God through Christ. And so now let me ask you this. Is there anything, what is it that you've been afraid to ask God for? Maybe because you've asked Him for it before and you don't feel like you ever got the answer. It says in Hebrews, right? It says about Jesus, it says He prayed with these tears, He prayed with this fervency, and because of that, He prayed with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save Him from death, and He was heard. He was heard. But the cup didn't pass from Him. And if it had, we wouldn't be having this conversation now. If that prayer of Jesus, let this cup pass from me, if that prayer had been answered in the affirmative and God said, yes, you don't have to do that, I'll take this cup from your hand. If that had happened, the cross wouldn't have happened. And you and I would not have been saved. We wouldn't be having this conversation. It says He prayed with these fervent cries and tears to the one who could save Him from death, and He was heard because of His reverent submission, but He didn't get what He asked for. And maybe you haven't gotten what you asked for either. And maybe there's part of you that needs to say, Lord, in Jesus' name, would you give me eyes to see what it is You're at work to do in me, through me, with me, and with the people I love in this moment and in this circumstance. Let me see an eternal look. Not just an in-the-moment look. What is it that you've been afraid to ask for? What is it that you've been embarrassed to ask for? My mind goes immediately to that issue of the besetting sins that I have to confess over and over and over, and maybe you do too. The kinds of things that have got deep claws in you that you want to be free from. But maybe you've asked so many times to be free that now you're embarrassed to keep bringing that same prayer back to the Father. It says in Scripture about Paul's thorn in the flesh and how he prayed over and over and over again. And finally God said, I'm doing something with that in your life that can't be done any other way. So I feel you, but I'm at work in it. What is it you've been maybe too afraid to ask for, maybe too embarrassed to ask for? And here's one, I don't know, I don't even know where this one's coming from, but I sense it in myself. What is it that you've been too tired to ask for from God? Because you know it's going to demand some things of you, that maybe you just don't feel like you have the capacity or the margin to respond to. And yet you know God is at work in you at this juncture, but you're almost afraid or embarrassed or too tired to ask Him for. Maybe you could know right now that God is going to do in you. Let me just pray this over you. Lord, in Jesus' name, that You would draw us so to Yourself, that we would desire what You desire. Lord, that we would walk in a way that only You could lead us, that we could talk with You like a friend talks to a friend. And forgive us, Lord, where we've sinned, because we have. And lead us, Lord, in Your way, because You are God and I am Your child. That's the kind of Christian I want to be. That's the kind of Christian I long for. That's the kind of Christian I hope we as a church become. I love you guys, and I love being your pastor. See ya.